According to the church calendar, today marks the first of Advent. But it's also the beginning of a brand new liturgical year. So, Happy New Year. Advent is one of the shorter seasons, lasting about 4 weeks. But I think it's one of the most confusing seasons of the year. It's the time when the secular world collides with the sacred world. Or to put it another way, it's when Santa and baby Jesus both compete for our attention. Not to mention having to anticipate a second coming of Jesus before we've even celebrated his birth. Children aren't confused, though. They know what to do this time of year. They know that all they need to do is be good, be patient, and have faith that Santa will come. I had an Advent calendar when I was a little girl that helped me count down those days. Of course, I had to share it with 3 older siblings, which meant I only got to open a door every 4th day. Sometimes that would be just the right sequence so that I would be opening the double doors, the big doors on the 24th. The doors that would open to Jesus lying in a manger. And then that was just enough to remind me that Christmas was more than just about Santa. For us adults, those days of waiting can become blurred and difficult. It's hard to know what to do. Do we hurry up? Do we slow down? Is time running out? Or is there plenty of time left? Is the time for Jesus now? Or later? Or both? Which is it? Well, if we listen to the lectionary readings this time of year, we'll hear a consistent message cutting through all the confusion. And that message is, be prepared. And as many times as I've heard those words, I'm still not sure how to do that. I'm not sure the Thessalonians knew what to do either when Paul told them to be prepared for the return of Christ. At the same time, he is trying to get them to understand who Christ was in the first place and why they needed to put their faith in him. Strengthen your hearts, he told them, so you may be blameless before God the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Paul believed the second coming of Christ would happen in his lifetime, but it didn't. And it still hasn't. I'm not sure Jesus' disciples knew what to do either when, in so many words, Jesus told them to be prepared. Be on guard and be alert, he told them, since the kingdom of God is near. He was talking about 2 times, the present and the future, as if they were one. Most of us count time in terms of past, present, and future. So it would be difficult to prepare for a time that's present and future at the same time. A time that's almost, but not yet. My sister and her husband, who live on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, know about that kind of time. They live it every year during hurricane season, preparing for a storm of uncertain strength, uncertain timing, not knowing whether it'll hit them or not, but having to prepare anyway. We live it every day too, or we're supposed to, but not to the same extent my sister does, mainly because the second coming is taking such a long time to happen that we forget that we're supposed to be prepared. So what if we just prepare for Jesus' first coming, his birth? What should we be doing? It happened so long ago, yet each year at this time, we get to remember how important that birth was, because it was a time when God became fully human and presented himself to the world in the form of a crying, helpless baby boy. So maybe preparing means remembering. In her book, Inspired, Rachel Held Evans had an interesting way of saying what happened when Jesus was born. She wrote that there's a curious but popular notion circulating around the church these days that says God would never stoop to such a level as a crying baby to be with us. She disagrees. She wrote that the most central feature of Scripture itself is it that God stoops. From walking with Adam and Eve through the Garden of Eden, to traveling with the Hebrews in a pillar of cloud and fire, to slipping into flesh and eating, laughing, weeping, and dying among us as part of humanity. The God of Scripture stoops and stoops and stoops. Dignified or not, believable or not, she wrote, ours is a God perpetually on bended knee, doing everything it takes to convince stubborn and petulant people, we are, that they are seen and loved. Have you ever noticed what happens here when small children come up to the communion rail with their little hands outstretched to receive the body of Christ? It's easy enough to drop a wafer into their hand, but there's something about kneeling down to their level and presenting them with the bread of heaven that draws in the Holy Spirit into our midst and feeds our faith. In some ways, these last 20 months have felt like one long Advent when we've been living in that in-between time of almost, but not yet, almost getting back to some kind of normal, but not quite. A time when we've missed out on signs of God's love, which we so desperately need to feed our faith and restore, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, restore what is lacking in our faith. Jesus' disciples needed signs to know when the kingdom of God was coming. Jesus told them to notice the fig tree and to put their faith in what its leaves could tell them, not only about the seasons of the year, but also about God's love found so abundantly in nature. The signs of God's love are everywhere, especially this time of year. We're just not always aware of the power they have to feed us. And maybe being aware helps us to prepare. Think of the music of Advent, lessons and carols, or the candlelight, or the variety and displays of greenery, the quiet of the snow, or the warmth of a fire, or the joy of just being back together again. In the fullness of time, God entered our world, stooped down for our sake, and became one of us. Then he promised that he would never leave us orphaned. So in the uncertainty of this in-between time of almost but not yet, remembering and being aware of all the signs of God's love will prepare us for just about anything that comes our way. Amen.